There is this man who is forever professing his deep love and devotion for his family. Nothing, he says, absolutely nothing is as important to him as his family is. They are, he proclaims, my number one priority. But on every weekend, this man goes out, drinks and brawls, loses all of his money gambling. His bad habits have literally cost his family the necessary food and clothes that they ought to have. But he's still proclaiming his family. That's his top priority. Would you agree with me that there's a real contradiction here between his professed priority and his actual practice, right? Here's another example. A student discusses his plans for the future. He knows he needs good grades because he wants to go to college. He wants to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. These, he says, are his top priorities. They're very important for him to be able to pursue a career of that sort. But the same kid never studies. He doesn't complete his homework assignments. His grades are just absolutely awful. Would you agree with me? We've got another case there of one who professes this priority, but doesn't put it into practice in his life. That's just a couple of illustrations that I want to offer. They are hypothetical illustrations, but probably it wouldn't take too long to find some examples, real-life examples of people doing those very things. I hope those illustrations will help you begin thinking along the lines that we want to talk about tonight as we talk about our priorities in a special way. Before we get into that discussion, stop here for just a minute to thank you all for being here. I know the weather hasn't been that great leading up to our time this evening. A lot of rain and not very pleasant. But, of course, that wouldn't keep us away. We have a pleasant place to sit and worship God and study from His Word. We're blessed in that way, and we're blessed to be able to be together. And we thank all of you for having a sense of priorities that brings you here tonight. We appreciate that, and we are edified by the very fact that you care. Thanks for being here. All week long we've been saying, if there's any question, if there's anything you don't understand, and even if there's a potential disagreement with something that is said, I hope you bring that to my attention so that we can iron that out. We think we can. We really do believe that it's possible to understand the Bible. If we're understanding it, then we'll be in agreement. And we believe that we can agree about the things God has revealed in His Word. So if there's any question at all, please say so. But I thank you again for being here tonight. All right. Priorities. A lot of times we talk about priorities, and I think it's an important thing for us to discuss priorities. But tonight I want to look at it in a little bit different way. Sometimes we claim a priority, but then, and maybe even in our mind, we believe that we have this priority, but then we fail to carry through in our actions, in the way that we live our lives. I think it happens in everyday matters, but I also think it happens in spiritual matters. Let me give you a Bible example of a fellow I think had this problem. I'm sure you remember the story of the rich young ruler. In Matthew's account in chapter 18, beginning at verse 16, it said, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said to him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" If you stop right there in reading that account, you could argue that if you were to ask this young man, what are your top priorities? I think this young man would answer, well, God, serving God, being right with God. Now, we understand, of course, that this was still under that Old Testament system. And so he was a Jew living under the law of Moses. But I think if you would have asked this young man, what's your top priority in life? I believe he would have said, God, serving God, obeying the commands of God. That's very first in my life. But you know how that story goes on. In verse 21 beginning, Jesus said to him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. even though he might have said, loving God, doing God's will in my life is the most important thing, when push came to shove, he had greater love for his money and his possessions. They actually were a higher priority for him. Do you see that? All right. Now that's the principle that we want to base our study on tonight. It is easy when we are asked, what is your priority? What are your priorities? What's your top priority? It's easy when we are asked that to give the answer we know we're supposed to give, right? For all of us who are Christians, if you were asked the question, what's your top priority? You know you're supposed to say God, serving God, doing the things of God. We know the right answer. And we would try to give the right. And we might even be deceiving ourselves into believing that that's the case in our lives. Sort of like this rich young ruler. But in reality, when you look at our practices, maybe it's not so. And I got to tell you that God is not satisfied to look at what we claim. He's interested in seeing what we do. And so we need to talk about priorities, not from the aspect of what they ought to be. We often do that. We often talk about priorities from that perspective, what they ought to be. But tonight, we want to see if we can analyze ourselves, evaluate ourselves, and see what our priorities really are. And so the simple question for study tonight is, how do I know what my priorities really are? And I'm just going to offer a series of simple questions that each of us should ask ourselves on a regular basis to see if we're really living up to what we claim. Because again, my thinking is we know how to answer the question, what are your priorities? The question is, are we living up to those priorities? Here's a question we could start with. If you want to know what your priorities really are, ask the question, what would others say my priorities are? Now, do you get the gist of that question? Others may not know us as well as we know ourselves, but I think others may be more objective in their analysis of us than maybe we are sometimes of ourselves. And they're objective about what they do know of us. For instance, my neighbor or my coworker, he could likely tell you in a word or two what I'm really about. Because my neighbor sees me in unguarded moments. The guy at work, maybe you've been working with this guy for years, maybe sitting across the coffee break table and sharing things with him on a daily basis. Ask that guy, what do you think my priorities are? He would give you a pretty objective answer. He knows me. He's around me. He sees me. Day by day, he observes how I'm living my life. He could tell you something about my priorities. And so here's the question. I know what I want my priorities to be, but what about these other people who know me? How would they judge my priorities? I'll tell you somebody who could make a real honest evaluation of that. What would my kids say my priorities are? My kids really know me, right? They really see me. They can cut through my claims and tell you how I actually live my life. What would my kids say my priorities are? Am I one who's truly devoted to the Lord? Or am I just making a pretense? In honesty, am I really living a hypocritical lifestyle? What would my kids say? What would others say about my priorities? In Titus chapter 2, verse 7 beginning, it says, "In all," Paul was speaking to the young evangelist Titus, and he encouraged him, you be living right. He says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Paul said, you live in such a fashion that even those who would like to have something bad to say about you have no basis for that. They're not able to say anything bad because you're living such an exemplary life. In other words, you're living up to your priorities. Peter said a similar thing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation, that's King James language, you know, and the meaning is manner of life. Having your manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. In both of those texts, the idea is live it. Don't just claim it, show it. And so, the first test, which I think is a pretty fair test, is to ask the question, in regards to my priorities. I'll give you the answer. Am I true in the answer? Ask somebody else. Ask someone who knows me well. That's a pretty fair test, wouldn't you agree? A second test that we could offer is, what do I think about? In regards to priorities, what do I think about? You know, our true priorities are what we think about when our brains are sort of allowed to slip into neutral for a while. There are no other urgent matters pressing us. There's no other emergency to deal with. What do I think about when I just have some downtime? Some time to just sort of meditate on things that are of interest to me. You know, someone said that when you're up to your neck in alligators, it's pretty hard to think about anything else. And sometimes in our work and in the busy schedules that we maintain, it's sort of like we're up to our neck in alligators. There's not much time to think of anything else. But what do you think about? What's your mind drawn to when you do have a time to just sit and relax? Nothing else is pressing you. What do you think about? The person who finds out that he very seldom meditates on God, on God's word, on the things of God, if he very seldom ever thinks about those things, then he's probably not got them as his top priority, because our priorities are on our mind, and we should often think about things that are that important to us. And so again, the person who finds he only thinks about godly things maybe during the few times a week that he comes to this building to join together with other Christians, if he never much thinks about that at other times, then that may be an indication that it's really not that important on his priority list. In Psalm 119, verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." That's the way we ought to be. We ought to always be thinking about the things of God, about His Word, His will, and how we should be implementing those things in our daily activities. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Here's why it's so important to think about God, to control our thought process and spend time meditating on godly things. Because what you think about in your mind is what you finally do in your life. There's an expression that is so true. It goes like this: thoughts precede actions. Thoughts precede actions. In other words, before I actually do something, I spend time thinking about it. I think about it, and I think about it, and after a while, I finally act upon the things I've been thinking about. Now, that could be true of bad things. If you let your mind dwell on bad things, then bad things will finally manifest themselves in your action. But the opposite of that is true as well. If I let my mind dwell on good things, if I think about good things, then those things will begin to show up in my life as well. Notice in Matthew 15, verse 18, Jesus talked about this. He said, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." Jesus said, you think about those bad things all the time, you will end up acting on them. Isn't that what he's saying, really? So he's saying, don't spend time thinking about the things of this world. On the other hand, we ought to think on good things. Paul, you know this familiar verse in Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." The Word of God gives us a lot of instruction about controlling our thoughts. And I really believe that if we will be honest with ourselves and ask, what are the things you spend time thinking about? It will reveal an important part of your priorities. Thoughts precede actions. Your thoughts reveal your priorities. So a good question to ask is, what do I think about? Let me suggest yet another question, and that is, what do I talk about? What are the things that I enjoy conversing about? Let me ask you a question. If you were to go into a bar in Akron, Ohio tonight, which of these two things do you think would be most likely to hear discussed in a bar in Akron, Ohio on this night? The upcoming NBA playoffs or Paul's thorn in the flesh? That's an easy one, right? That's an easy one. They're going to be talking about things that don't have anything at all to do with the Word of God, right? They're not interested in godly things. They wouldn't be at the bar if they were. And so That's an easy answer, but it hopefully illustrates our point. You talk about, not only do you think about, but you also talk about the things that are important to you. Conversations naturally arise out of the things that are most frequently on our minds. If we really talk about God only at the services, you know, certainly when we come together here during Bible class hours and worship periods, we're going to talk about the things of God here. But if that's the only time we really talk about those things, again, it probably reveals something about our personal priorities. And so if we don't find that we have an enthusiasm for talking about godly things, I'm not saying we ought to talk about God, you know, God and the Bible and those sort of things all the time in every conversation that we get into. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that if you don't have any real enthusiasm for it, you know, you walk up on a couple of people and they're talking about the Bible, and you go the other way because you don't want to get into that. You know, you're not interested in that. You're not enthusiastic about talking of those. That's probably an indication, something about your priorities. Again, very simply, I know you can't argue with this observation. You talk about the things you are enthusiastic about. You talk about the things that are important to you. If you find that you're never, other than these times when you come together for worship and Bible study, if you find that other times of the week you effectively never talk about those things, then that's probably a real problem, and it reveals something about your heart and your priorities. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." There you have it. What's in your heart is found in your words. And if you're a good person, you'll speak good things. You'll talk about good things. You'll talk about God. But if you're an evil person, those things won't come out of your mouth. In James chapter 1, verse 26, James says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." You know, what James said there is a very telling test. If we are known to even be able to lack the control to speak properly, if out of our mouth come unbridled words, you know, if you're known to say a swear word, tell a dirty joke, you know, those kind of things are revealing. And so again, what you talk about is an indication of your true priorities. Now, again, our simple point that we're trying to drive home here is it's one thing to claim what your priorities are, because all of us know what the answer is supposed to be, right? We know the right answer to that question when you ask, what are your priorities? We know the right answer we're supposed to give. What we're trying to say tonight is, how is that shown in our lives? Do we carry through? Do we actually do it, or are we just claiming it? Here's another question to ask. How do I spend my time? I would be willing to say that there's not any of us who have all the spare time that we would like to have. You know, everybody's pretty busy these days. But we do have some spare time. And my question here is, how do you spend that spare time when you have it? How do you spend your spare time? That displays your priorities, certainly. A while back, I went to attend a series of Bible lessons that were being taught at this one particular congregation not far from us in Alabama. And there I ran into a family that I knew from Tennessee. And they had traveled to this place and taken rooms in a hotel, their whole family, mother, father, and several kids. It was their vacation. And they had taken vacation time in order to be there and attend that special series of Bible lessons that was being taught. Now, I want to tell you, just from that one demonstration of how they used their free time, I would tend to believe them if they said, God is our top priority. Studying His Word, knowing His Word, living it in our lives, that's most important to us. I tell you, I've known that family for a number of years, but I was so impressed to see them there, that they had taken vacation time in order to be there. And by virtue of doing that, they certainly could not only claim a priority, but show it in what they were doing. Okay, so there's one example. Contrast them to the fella who just very, very spotty in his attendance, even to the Sunday worship services. And, you know, you go to him and you talk to him and you try to really encourage him. You got to do better, brother. You're just not attending very faithfully. And he fires back, listen, Sunday is my only day off work. I'm working 6 days a week, and the only day I get off is Sunday. And I need a little time to play golf, or I need a little time to go fishing. It's my only day off, after all. Sunday's the only time off that I have. It'd be pretty hard to believe it if that guy then turned around and tried to tell you, God is my top priority, right? We wouldn't believe him. We would not be inclined to believe him. So my point here, again, a very simple observation is what you spend time doing, your spare time. Obviously, all of us have commitments and the time is not really our own. But in regards to the time that is your own, how do you spend it? That says something about your priorities. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. We're told, walk in wisdom toward them that are out without, redeeming the time. I believe verses like that suggest to us that God holds us accountable, that we're stewards of the time that we have. And when we have the discretionary power to use certain parts of our time as we want, then we're showing something about how we invest that time. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So time use is a pretty good indicator of priorities. Simple questions. All of these are really simple questions, right? But I hope that you will allow them to prick your heart and do some self-evaluation. We all got to do that. Evaluate yourself. See where you really are about your priorities. Here's another question. How do you spend your money? Suppose, I mean, this is just a hypothetical. I don't know that this has ever happened at Brown Street, but just suppose that it did. Suppose that there's a special Bible class planned and the teacher has been assigned, and maybe it's Don, you know, and so you're going to have a special study on a given subject. And Don says, what I would like you all to do is to go to the bookstore or get online and order this particular reference book, because we're going to use it extensively in the study that we're doing. And this particular reference book costs $25.
$25? Are you kidding me? Don expects me to invest $25 in a book for this. Does he think money grows on trees or what? I can't believe that he expects me to spend $25 for this book. Hey, you going to the concert next week? Oh, yeah, man. I can't wait. What kind of tickets do you get? Oh, man, I got seats right up close front. How much were they?
$55. That was a deal, man. That was a deal. I was so glad to be able to get those seats for that ball game. You know, I'm going to that ball game, and I got seats right up close on the 50-yard line. It cost me $89. Man, they're good seats. They're really good seats. I'm so excited to go to that game. You see the difference there? Do you see the difference? How you spend your money will say something about your priorities. You got to be honest here. You got to evaluate yourself. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, we live in a very dangerous time because we live in the most prosperous age in the history of the world. We are the most prosperous people, the most materially blessed people as a whole that have ever lived in the whole history of time. And therefore, all the warnings about money and the use of money apply more to us than anybody else who ever received those warnings. And the scripture are full of warnings about the danger of money and how it can corrupt us and how it can change our priorities in a negative way. In that same chapter of 1 Timothy chapter 6 at verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world. That's us. That's you and me. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You see that last phrase? Our eternity is going to be affected by how we use our money. And so again, I would suggest to you that the question, how do you use your money is certainly a telling one. And again, you can use that to help determine where your priorities really are. Okay, I hope you see that there's, again, some real simple questions there, but they have impact. What would others say about me? They know me. How would they judge my priority? But what do I think about? What do I talk about? How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? All worthy questions. But I want to give you the acid test now. I want to give you the one that I think tops all the rest. I think all of those are worthwhile questions for us to ask ourselves. But here's the real telling question. And that is, what gives when I face a conflict of priorities? I really think this is the best test of all. Let's talk for a minute about scheduling conflicts, because scheduling conflicts happen to all of us. The very simple fact of the matter is you can't be two places at the same time. And so when your schedule hits you in such a fashion that there are two things that are important to you and they both fall at exactly the same time, you can't be two places at the same time. And so one or the other has to give, right? I want to tell you, if it's the things of God that always yield for the things that pertain to this world, then your true priorities are laid bare. If every time there's a potential conflict of interest and your schedule conflicts, but you give up spiritual things in order to do this worldly things, then that tells. I mean, you can say all you want to about your priorities, but that exposes your priority. For instance, you know, lots of us as parents have had kids in sports programs and so forth, school sports and, little league and softball leagues and all that. And I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of fun. And I always enjoyed it. I even coached my boys when they were in youth baseball, and that's just a really fun thing. And we really enjoyed it, and it keeps you really busy. I'll tell you, you can get too busy doing that sort of thing. So we go back and talk about time here if we wanted to. But you can get really busy with that sort of thing. It's great when you are able to arrange the schedule so they do not conflict with, for instance, the worship services of the church, you know. And so you try to arrange the team schedule, the league schedule, so that maybe there are no conflicts with Wednesday night Bible study or worship on Sunday. That's great. And I think we ought to do that, by the way. I think too often Christians are way too timid about speaking up for their priorities. I remember when I was coaching my two older boys in what we called senior little league. I think they were 13, 14, 15-year-old boys in that league. And I was one of the coaches, and we went to the coaches meeting, you know, at the start of the season, and they started talking about how they were going to schedule the games. And I said, men, I don't think we should have games on Wednesday night. I said, I can't be here on Wednesday night. So if you're going to play on Wednesday night, don't schedule my team on Wednesday night. I can't be here on Wednesday night. But I said, I think lots of other people have a Wednesday night conflict. And just by virtue of speaking up, that's all I had to say. Then two or three of the other coaches said, I just don't think we should even schedule games on Wednesday night. And for that year, there were no games on Wednesday night just because I said that simple word. I'm just saying that to say, if we will speak up sometimes, you young people, when you take these part-time jobs, if you'll just speak up to your boss and say, I can't work on Wednesday night. I can't work on Sunday. I'll work every Friday night and Saturday night if you let me off on Wednesday night and Sunday. I got to tell you, I can't believe that there's a fast food manager in America who wouldn't love to have a young person who would say that, who would say, let me off on Wednesday, I'll work Friday. They would jump at that. They would love that. You got to speak up for your priorities. And I just really encourage all of us, young and old, to speak up for priorities. But no matter how hard you try to do that, no matter how hard you try to arrange your schedule, now it's the playoffs. Now it's the all-star team. And my son is the starting pitcher on the all-star team. Man, I love to see him throw that baseball. You know, he can throw that. He can throw that baseball through a brick wall. You know, oh, man, I love to watch that boy play ball. And the big game is on Wednesday night. What are we going to do? Now we've got that inevitable conflict of priorities. I surely do love that baseball.
I really love to watch that boy play baseball. But it's Wednesday night. It's Bible study night. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do? Well, the answer should be already made, because our priorities should already be in place. What are we going to do? I want to tell you that when we give up the things of God for the things of this world, at least at that instant, for that day, our priorities are laid bare. Not just to us and our kids. By the way, our kids see that perfectly. They learn that lesson. You can be consistent. You can do 100 Bible studies in a row and you miss that one. And you've taught a more powerful lesson than the one you missed than all the 100 before that you made. But our priorities are laid bare. When we show what happens when we hit that conflict of priorities. You know, just serving God when it's convenient to do so is not enough. We come to services when there's nothing else to do. But when there's something else to do, we go do that. Then that other thing, whatever it is more important than God. If the only time we are willing to do God's service is when it's convenient. You remember the famous story of King David. When he had sinned and God was terribly afflicting the nation of Israel because of the sins of their king. And David needed to offer a sacrifice to stop God's judgment against the nation. And a man offered him everything he needed to make sacrifices. He says, here's a place, here's the materials to build an altar and the wood to burn on it, and here's an animal to offer on the altar when you build it. And David said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. David understood that to really serve God faithfully, you got to make sacrifice. If it doesn't cost you anything, if it's just done out of convenience, if it's not real sacrifice, then that's not real service. Real service to God is when we're willing to sacrifice in order to be there, to do that. And so again, I suggest to you that probably the best of all the questions we've asked tonight is this last one. What yields when we face a conflict of important things to us? We all have a number of things that are important to us. What gives when we hit that conflict? Well, priorities. They are so important. Not just in what we claim, but what we demonstrate by how we live. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus was basically saying, you've got to make the decision. What is the most important thing to you? Make the decision. The fact of the matter is, not only do you have to decide, but in fact you are deciding. Whether you want to acknowledge that or not, you are making a decision about the most important things in your life. And they are in evidence by what you do. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Not only do you have to make the decision, you are making the decision. You know it. Others probably know it. Certainly God knows it. But of course, you can't talk about priorities without remembering the famous words of Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We got to put God first. We got to have him not just by claim, but in practice as the very most important thing in our lives. Where are your priorities tonight? Our lesson tonight's been directed toward those of us who are already Christians. And so let me speak to you first. If it is the truth of the matter that you realize that your priorities haven't been, well, you know what, again, just like we've been saying all that, you know, you've got them ordered in your mind the way they're supposed to be, but you haven't been really living it. And you know that, and you're aware of that. Then we urge you to make the necessary changes. Come back to the Lord in repentance, confession, and prayer. If we can pray with you and for you tonight, we'd be glad to do that. Just let us know. For others in our assembly who are not yet Christians, we urge you to make that decision. Put God first in your life. Obey his simple plan of salvation. Hear the truth. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus. Be baptized for the remission of sins. If we can help in any way, let us know while we stand and sing this song.